I don't know how many of you would agree with me, but in terms of comparing the Christmas stories in Luke and Matthew, I tend to like Luke a little better than Matthew. Luke is a little happier than what we find in Matthew's gospel. Luke tells us of a quaint little town called Bethlehem. Paints a beautiful pastoral scene of a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. It grips us with compelling stories of shepherds who were sore afraid. If we choose to, we can just focus on the Luke story and romanticize and sentimentalize about it until we get all gushy and warm inside. And we can focus all of our attention on this cute little baby, except we would never have that baby connect to us in any real or serious way. So I suppose that's why Matthew tells a different story. Not as happy as what Luke wants us to hear. Last Sunday we heard about the trauma and trial of Joseph and Mary in preparing for the entrance of Jesus into the world. Today we hear an even worse story about a horrible, horrid king named Herod, who was frightened by the news of a newborn king. And we hear about these wily, tricky old men named wise men and the strange gifts that they bring. I mean, gold we could understand bringing to a great event, but why would you want to bring some weird gum resin from Africa like frankincense to give to a new baby? And of all things, why would you give a newborn baby a burial spice like myrrh? Wonder these questions, and then we're socked with the biggest horrible news of all. An angel comes to Joseph in the middle of the night and says, "Get your family out of here because Herod wants to kill him, your child Jesus." Not quite the silent holy night that we like to think about, not quite the pastoral scene that Luke has us to believe. This is a much more horrible story. And it's not until the dust settles from Herod's rampage and we hear the weeping and wailing of mothers lamenting over the death of their children when this passage ends and Joseph and Mary and Jesus return to Nazareth. Hearing this version of the Christmas story is like getting your credit card bills right after Christmas. It brings you back to the realities of a cold and cruel world. It feels like awaking with a Christmas hangover. It says that this is the real world where there are harsh realities that we deal with. And I wonder why they call him Herod the Great. After all, he was anything but great. His violent and vengeful ways are well documented by historians. At one point in his life, he had his own wife killed and three of his own sons murdered because they saw them all as a threat to him. That ancient historian Augustus once declared, "It is better to be Herod's pig than it is to be Herod's son." Herod was evil incarnate, and when he learned that he was tricked by the wise men who went a different way after seeing the baby, he issued a decree that all of the babies in Bethlehem and around Bethlehem, 2 years old or younger, were to be slaughtered. Today we would call him mentally unbalanced. Back then people just called him Sir. This killing of all the babies in Bethlehem was not even deemed worthy by the historians of his time. After all, they were only 20 or 30 children, they think, that actually died in the hands of Herod. But you ask the mothers of Bethlehem and they would say that was 20 or 30 too many. Historians do record the fact that Herod was so cruel that he wanted to make sure that the families grieved the slaughter of their children. So, he had one of the family members also killed when the family learned of the death of their child. We're horrified by Herod. We don't want to hear about it, especially in this joyous time when we're singing great carols and proclaiming peace to all the people. But strange that Matthew would mention it. And I have a feeling that Matthew would mention it because he wants to tell us that Jesus was not fictitious. Jesus was not an image on a Christmas card. or some stained glass window. Jesus was real. And so was the world that he entered, a real world. He wanted to let us know that this Savior has come because the world needed a Savior. A world needed salvation. Herod is not the only evil leader. We immediately think of Hitler and the Holocaust. We think of Bosnia and the 250,000 people who have been killed because of the ethnic cleansing there. We hear about Rwanda and the terrible slaughter of more than 800,000 people because of the genocide there. This is much a real world as it was back then. The United Nations has reported that in the decade of 1985 to 1995, just this 10-year span, approximately 2 million children have been killed because of violence in the world. That's approximately 3 children every 4 minutes, which translates to about 47 children every hour of every day for 10 straight years. We may be horrified by Herod, but this is as much a real world as his world back then. And so what does Christmas have to say to this? Why do we talk about such horrible events? I must admit it wasn't my choice. It was the lectionary selection for this Sunday. And I told you earlier that I do like Luke a lot better, but I do think that Matthew's passage tells us that this real world we live in still needs a Savior. And this real world that so desperately needs salvation has a way to find it through this tiny child, this real child that we sing about and that we praise. That's the message of Matthew this morning. But I also want us to think about Joseph and Mary, not just Jesus. I mean, put yourself in their shoes after all. Here are the two of them entrusted with this great responsibility of raising this tiny child and bearing this great gift to the world. And what an incredibly difficult task it was for them. This is a child who was born immediately into a world of risk, of danger to his life. This child with a life so promising enters a world that is so dangerous. It was not then, and it's not easy now, to raise a child, to bear the Word of God. Especially this one, because this was no ordinary child. This was the Son of God. This was the light that came into darkness. This was the bread of life. This was the Word become flesh. And we know from reading another gospel that this light entered a dark world that tried to extinguish it. That this bread of life entered a world where people were trying to turn their own stones to bread instead of turning to this bread of life. And we know that this word become flesh, who came and dwelt among us, was in the world, but the world did not accept him. How difficult it was for Mary and Joseph to raise this child, to bear this word become flesh. And how difficult it is for us today to be bearers of the Word of God, just like Mary and Joseph. And it's precisely at this moment in our text where we can leap into the passage and know where we can connect intimately with what Mary and Joseph were going through. Where we ask ourselves, is it really worth it to bear this Word? What is the point of living the Christian life when the odds are stacked against us, when there's too much risk? What is the point, some of us might ask, of living a life of honesty and integrity in a world that awards people who achieve at any cost? What is the point of maintaining a belief system that is based on faith rather than science? That is archaic and non-scientific in a world that awards rationale and logic? What is the point of tending for the poor or fighting for peace in a world that so eagerly works against that? What is the point of sharing the good news of Jesus with those who have never heard it in a world that so clearly rejects him so regularly? Perhaps Mary and Joseph wondered the same thing. What is the point of raising a child when the world just wants to kill him? Surprisingly, dear ones, there is a message of hope in this passage. The message of hope comes to us as it came to Joseph in a dream, where an angel comes to him in the middle of the night and says to him those incredible words, "It's over. You can take your family home. You don't need to hide anymore. You can take your family to your homeland and you can raise this child." Wonderful words of hope and encouragement for Joseph and Mary, and it's wonderful words for us as well. We don't need to hide anymore. We don't need to assess the risks or look at the odds stacked against us in living the Christian life. Because God indeed is with us, all we need to do is focus on living the life that God has called us to live. That's our only focus in life. Focus on what God has taught us to do. Focus on what God has created us to do, and do it with passion for the Christ child that each of us bear and need to share. All of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the great series of books, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Perhaps you read the first one that came out, and the great story that was included in that one, a very popular story, it's become well known by now, a story of a little boy who was walking along the beach. The tide was going out, and for some strange reason, the starfish had all ended up on the beach. They were sitting there, unable to get back in the water, facing doom because of the heat of the sun that was boring down on them. The little boy realized this and he frantically started picking up starfish, one by one, throwing them back into the water. A man who was walking along the beach at the same time saw the boy and saw what he was doing, and he yelled at the boy, "Son, what in the world are you doing? There must be hundreds of thousands of starfish on this beach. Don't you know that this beach goes on for miles and miles? There is no way in the world you can save all of those starfish." Little boy thought about that for a moment and then turned to the man. And he picked up a starfish and he said, "Yeah, I know. But I can save this one." And he heaved it back into the water as far as he could. A little boy who didn't bother assessing the risk or taking notice of the fact that the odds were stacked against him, but realized that he had a special mission to save God's creatures. And so he did. As bearers of the Word of God, we have the same responsibility. In a world that is so violent and does so eagerly reject the Christ child which we bear and share, let us not count the odds or assess the risk, but to do our job, to live our life with honesty and integrity, to work for peace, to tend to the poor, to share the good news with those who have never heard it, because that's what we've been created to be. And in those moments when we feel hesitant about the job that we are to do, let us remember the words that Matthew brings us. You don't need to hide anymore. You can go home. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.